So many of you here know that Pastor Joel and I are returning back from a sabbatical. And while we were on sabbatical, we spent a couple of weeks in Nicaragua. And while we were in Nicaragua, we were blessed to be able to see some of the different mission work that churches in this northern Colorado area are actually doing down in the Somoto area of Nicaragua. We also got to see how Loveland Habitat for Humanity has been building houses down there for 15 years. And so we got to see some of the houses that have been built down there in Nicaragua. We got to see some of the medical missions that have been going on. A church in the Longmont area has helped to build a preschool down there. And so it's really exciting to see some of that different mission work. And that was kind of our first week there. And then the second week, we went to the beach with my family. So all of my family gathered at the beach together. While we were in Nicaragua, one of the things I experienced there was that their money is different than ours. So their money looks like this. And while I was there, we, you know, would spend this money. But when I was spending this money, I actually felt like I was spending this kind of money. Monopoly money. So I don't know if you've ever had that experience in another country before, if you've ever traveled to another place and you just have all these bills and you'll say, how much does it cost? And they're like, 100. And you're like, sure, here's 100. Because you don't really know what 100's worth exactly. I even found the experience as my sister and I were kind of getting ready for our trip down at the beach. We were buying all the food and we were at the store and there was a bag of Snickers and, you know, a little Snicker. Oh, that would be so nice. You know, have some little candies down there. So let's get that bag of Snickers. She goes, that's $25 for that bag of Snickers. I said, I think we'll skip the Snickers. So we didn't get those. So, you know, I just had no sense of how much money was worth because it really just felt like I was playing with Monopoly money while I was down there. But I know a lot of times other people who have traveled may have had that same kind of experience before, that the money just doesn't feel like it has value or the same kind of value. It's hard to understand that value. And the reason I was thinking about this is actually in our scripture today in Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus is the exact imprint of God. And what this is making reference to is actually the imprints that were on the coins of that time in Roman times. So in the Roman times, they did not have paper money like we had. They had coin money. And the coin money had different faces on it. It had the face of Caesar. So there's different money. And you can see, I actually have a picture up here so you can see that the money, so like a shekel or a denarii, would have the face of Caesar on it. And so this face that was put on there was a way of showing that this coin had value. So what would happen if you were exchanging money? You were exchanging metal, basically. And they would say, this shekel has this much value and you can trust this because my name is on it. My face is on it. So you can trust this value because the face of Caesar was on the coin. And so we similarly in our country, right, we also put people's faces on money, right? This money feels like real money to me, right? This money, this is real money, right? You can see I just got back from vacation because this is a dollar. This is how much I have left. You know, not a lot of money left in the wallet, but we put faces on our money as well. So what kind of faces? I mean, this one's a one. It has George Washington. What kind of faces do we put on our money? Presidents. So we don't put the face of Caesar, right? But we put the face of presidents on our money. So we have on the dollar, you have Washington. Who are some other presidents who are on some different bills? Lincoln's on a five. Yeah, I have $5 in my wallet too. Ones and fives, those are goods. Yeah. What about some other faces of presidents that are on some different bills? Franklin. Franklin's on the 100, right? Yeah. But he's not a president. Yeah. And the 10 has, anyone who has on the $10 bill? Hamilton. Jackson's on the 20. You got a 20. Oh, Pastor Joel said I should collect the money. As I was asking people to tell me what presidents they found on their money, I could just collect it. So, you know, I won't collect the money. Yeah. So, yeah. So, actually, on the 10, we have Hamilton, who was the Secretary of Treasury. He never was a president. We have Franklin on the 100, never a president as well. So, we have some people who aren't presidents, but were important in our history. And so, really, what we're saying when we put these faces on the dollars, on our bills, is we're saying that you can trust our government to back this money, right? So really, because the truth is that this is just paper, like this is paper, but somehow this is going to get me a lot more than this is going to get me when I go to the store, right? Even if I try and give this $500 Monopoly money, it just doesn't really seem to get me very far when you try and spend Monopoly money at the store. So our government backs our money, and so we don't change the face on it. So back in Jesus' time, and in the Roman times, they would change the face. It would be the face of Caesar on it. And we know this from actually finding coins. We also hear it in Scripture when they're talking about Jesus and the Pharisees are having a conversation, and the Pharisees come to Jesus and say, should we pay taxes or not? And Jesus says, whose head is on the coin? And they say, Caesar's head. And so Jesus says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and give to God the things that are God. So we know that even that the face of Caesar was on the coin, and the face of Caesar is what was that imprint on the coin to say, this coin has value. This shekel is equal to this shekel, they're the same. This denarii is equal to this denarii. These are the same, and you can trust it because my face is on it. And so we read in Scripture then that it talks about this imprint. And so in our Hebrews lesson that we just heard from, verse 3, it says, Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so we see that in Scripture talks about Jesus is the exact imprint of God. The exact imprint. And that because he is the exact imprint, we can trust his words. It says that he has the power, all things are sustained by his powerful word. And so what we're told by saying that Jesus is the exact imprint is that the words that Jesus speaks then are words that are trustworthy and true. That the words that Jesus speaks have the backing of God behind them. That these are the exact imprint of God. These are God's words to you. And so that Jesus is the exact imprint is that we can trust what Jesus says. And so when Jesus speaks, when Jesus says, your sin is forgiven, we can believe and trust in that promise because Jesus is the exact imprint. When Jesus says, come to me all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, we can trust in those words because those are words that are of God. When Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, we can believe and trust in those words as words that are of God, from God, promises that can be believed and trusted in because Jesus is the exact imprint of God. And so these words are words from God. Now, this is not the first time that God has spoken. It says in verse 1, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. And so we find that these words that come to us from God are written down here in Scripture. In the Bible, these are the words that can be trusted and that are true words to believe and to trust in. And this is a gift that's given to us because no one has ever seen God. No one has seen. The only person who got to see God was Noah, who got to see his backside. And Noah's face shone afterwards with the glory of God. That no one has ever been able to see God. And so we see then that many times, because we don't get to see God, we can have difficulty believing in God. You don't get to see God right in front of you. And sometimes in our lives, we might even question because we don't feel God as well. It might feel like God is absent from us. We might question why God is doing this to us, or maybe why God didn't do something. Maybe someone's sick. Maybe someone's dying, already has died. We begin to question. We may not see God. We might look around the world and say, God, where are you and why are you not doing something to come down here and fix all the problems that are going on here? Martin Luther, he talks about the different aspects of God. Because we can't see God, we can't know all the things of God. And so he talks about a hidden nature of God, that there are parts of God that we cannot understand, that are hidden from us. And so many times we can get caught in those dark places, looking at the hiddenness of God, of things we just cannot understand. And so Luther also talks about the God revealed to us, the God that we can see. And the God revealed to us is in Jesus Christ, that in Christ, God has been revealed to us. And so when we want to see God, we look to Jesus. We look to the words of Christ to reveal God to us. And that in those difficult and dark times, when we only see that God is absent, we have a promise that God has been revealed to us in Christ. That Christ is the very exact imprint of God. And so we can turn to Christ to believe and to trust in these words given to us in Christ. We can believe in the promises and the presence that comes to us in Christ. That these are of God, these are God. This is the exact imprint of God. Our verse that Angie was just starting to teach us throughout this whole time, looking at God's faithfulness, talks about in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that many times it takes faith to believe and to trust. And so that we don't always see, but that God has revealed to us in Christ so that we can see. But it takes faith to believe in those things. It actually takes faith to believe that this money has value as well. We don't often think about that, but we put a lot of faith and trust in our government to back this money. That this money has value, and that this money does not have value. And the only difference between my two pieces of paper here is that this piece of paper, our government says, we can believe and trust that they will hold the value of this money. And so we have to put trust in these papers that are given to us all the time. And we also put belief and trust in the papers and the words, more importantly, that are given to us here in Scripture. Because these are the words that God has spoken through the ages, through the prophets, and now in this time has spoken to us through a son. That God has been faithful through it all. And so God's faithfulness shines through in the exact imprint of Christ revealed to you. So that these words come to you in the midst of those dark places to reveal Christ's light, to shine God's word, and to give you faith and hope. Truly, this is how God speaks and brings God's faithfulness to us. Amen.